Hi, I'm Chris Plum, head coach and CEO of Cromwell Swim Club. This is the Off the Deck podcast. Off the Deck champions Cromwell Swim Club's mission, teaching excellence through swimming for life. Cromwell Swim Club is building a pool and it is naming it the Cromwell Swim Academy. Cromwell Swim Academy will provide an entry point for more children in central Indiana to have access to life-saving programs. We are compelled to use our expertise in swimming to make our community safer and ensure every child has the opportunity to learn to swim. To learn more, visit www.carmelswimacademy.org. Gain Swimming is also a sponsor of the Off the Deck podcast. Gain Swimming is the gold standard in dry land training. If you are interested in a consultation, please contact Chris Webb at chris@thegainnetwork.com. To learn more, visit www.thegainnetwork.com/gainswimming. And now, let's get on with our show.
This is part two of our conversation with Coach Mark Hesse and Chris Plum. A quick note before we dive into the podcast, there are a couple audio issues and you will likely notice an echo. Please bear with us. We're working on improving and we know that this is not our best, but we're trying so hard to get better. Thank you for your patience.
Now that I'm not going to age you here exactly, but if you could go back and talk to maybe the coach first starting out or your time at Washington Township, what would you tell yourself?
You know, I worked under some coaches early in my career that were very much, it's my way or the highway with the athletes and with the parents. And I think that I probably was a little too strident in that. And I'd probably back off on that a little bit and understand that it's a partnership.
Yeah.
And if we push too hard or are too demanding, and by being too demanding, I'm not necessarily saying, you know, training the kids too hard, but if we expect too much too soon from these kids, we may push them out of the sport. If we don't allow for flexibility and if we don't listen to our athletes, especially when they get into that, I think if they've been with you for a while and you know, they're reaching that 12, 13, 14, 15 and older range, you need to listen to the athletes because a lot of times they know a lot more than we give them credit for. And I think specifically back to, you know, one of the best swimmers I ever coached, Brian Hartley, who we used to have some knockdown, drag out disagreements about training, about stroke technique and things like that. And I think, you know, if we had spent less time arguing and more time collaborating, you know, maybe he could have been a little better. I think I remember there was one workout that, and this was back when we had just a super training group. Maggie was in this training group, Liz Christie, Alex Dawson, just a lot of great swimmers in the group. And we were having what I termed a recovery day. And they could not handle anything that I was throwing at them, even though I thought it was recovery. And, you know, it was finally about 2/3 of the way through workout. I, you know, Brian happened to be on the wall and I go, man, what is going on? This is a recovery. Why, you know, you guys are really struggling. So he goes, just because you call it recovery doesn't mean it's recovery. And I think that that's, you know, I think they know their bodies, right? And they know how they're feeling. And so we need to listen to them. We don't always have to, or we should hear them. We don't always have to take action to what they want, but we need to listen to them and gain information from them, because that's just going to make our ability to coach them a lot better if they feel heard, and we can always learn something, right? You never know who it is, who the person you're going to learn stuff from is. It could be an 8-year-old on the team.
Yeah. I remember Mike Christie, he's helped coach us, Carmel a little bit. And he said, talked about Mark and Coach Miller. Mark, would he be like, I would expect to come in and get my butt kicked every single day. And then one day you'd come in and he would just float. And I was like, that's a great perspective. What did you learn something there? From that moment, do you think?
I think I did. And I think there's been a lot of athletes that I've learned from. Maybe not I probably didn't learn that lesson in that moment because Mike was a few years behind right. Brian. So it maybe took a couple years for me to realize the wisdom of what Brian was saying. And to really, you know, to really have a better eye for when the kids are struggling and go, it's not that, you know, it used to be, I would think, oh, they're not trying hard enough, right? Or they don't want it bad enough. And I think when those phrases enter your head, you're doing a disservice to your kids. Because there are very few kids that go into the sport of swimming that aren't willing to give their all and do what you ask of them. I think that's a trait of all great swimmers, is they're willing to do whatever they think it takes. And usually they're going to listen to the coach on that. So if they're struggling, right, it's not because of a lack of effort. It's probably because they're that's all they've got that day. And we need to accept that and be willing to adjust our training plan. So and that takes a little bit of an eye. And again, it takes great communication. You know, the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee has this great document called the Quality Coaching Framework. And if coaches out there haven't seen it, go on the USOPC website. It's called the Quality Coaching Framework. It was created by the education department there at the USOPC, along with Dr. Wade Gilbert, very well known, scientist and expert in coaching, as well as some other great names in the field of coaching and athlete development. But they talk about the four C's, which is competence, right? The ability to do the skill, the training, right? Confidence, connection, and character. And I think we need to hit on all four of those things with our athletes. And the one I think that we usually that some people struggle with, and I know I think early in my career I struggled with, is that connection piece. And we got to remember these are still kids. No matter how fast they are, they're still kids, and we need to, you know, nurture that part of them as well as challenge the athlete. But I think paying attention to all four of those boxes, and you know, the confidence is such a key for kids. You know, the great late great Richard Quick had a famous saying: "Believe in belief."
Yep.
Right. And I think that trust through the connection and that belief in what you're doing is so important for a coach and for the athletes to be successful. If the athletes trust the coach to guide them in the right way and believe in what they're doing, they're going to be successful. And I think if the athlete or if the coach trusts the athletes that they're giving their best honest effort, and he believes in their potential, there's nothing that can stop, you know, that that kind of teamwork and camaraderie. And when you get that in a group, then it's really special. Mm-hmm. And I'm very sure you've experienced that. And it doesn't always happen. When it's missing, it's hell to be a coach. But when it's there, it's like magic. And you can't wait to get to the pool every day. And the kids can't wait to get to the pool every day.
Yeah, the special moments happen when there is belief and trust on both sides. And I 100% believe that. So I would say the teams over the years, you know, Carmel, they haven't always been like that, but when they are, it's just fun, right? You just come to the pool and excited, and they're going to do great things. And I think too, it's like you feel it. Like there's a certain feeling that comes with that team that it's hard to put into words. Mark, this has been great. We're going to shift gears and ask a little bit of faster question.
Okay.
So maybe it'll kind of speed up at the end. Who in history, or present living or past, would you like to do a social experiment?
Wow, that's a great question. John Wooden, mm-hmm, is somebody, you know, that's always been a hero of mine, a coaching hero. I got to spend an afternoon with him, and I was at his condo in his study for about 3 or 4 hours, just asking questions and talking with him. I mean, and that was a wonderful experience. But I left that and I felt like, man, oh, there's so many other things I wish I could have asked. So I'd love to do it with him. You know, some other, you know, people that I kind of look up to in history is probably Thomas Jefferson, because I love the curiosity of his mind and the creativity of his mind. And I'd love to just have that conversation.
There's that history major coming out in you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
What song would you least like to pop up during practice or coaching?
I'm like DeBoer that you had on last week. I'm not the music guy, but I'm gonna go with rap.
Just rap. Well. All right. If you could,
I don't know. I mean, I'm like him. You know, when that song comes on, I know it's the song that I don't want to hear. Right?
It's cringeworthy.
I guess what I really don't want to hear anything slow.
Right?
Because I think that's it's funny because the guy's high school team that I worked with last spring, one of the guys was always in charge of the music, right? And he'd have this great playlist going, and then all of a sudden there'd be this just really slow song. I'd be like, what? This has no place here. Right? Let's skip that one.
Yeah, move on. It is interesting that music, there's so much energy, and the kids want it, and it changes the dynamic incredibly. So, if you could post a billboard at the pool for everyone to read, what would it say?
The old Tim Ferriss question, huh? I think I'd go with the Ted Lasso channeling Richard Quick, believe.
Okay.
Just believe.
Yeah.
Right? Believe in yourself, believe in your teammates, believe in your coach, believe in the process. It's so powerful. I think that's what I would go with.
Okay.
Or take one less stroke, maybe.
N-1. All right. So long warm up or short warm up?
Well, I'm kind of, we usually do our dry land before. So I'm kind of, I'm sure you are in the same boat with what you guys are doing with gain. You know, short warm up.
I think right? I stole that from you too, right? It's like, just go to work, you know.
Well, I think you can, they can warm up while I think more so long versus short, it's got to be purposeful.
Purposeful.
Right? It can't be like 400 choice, right? That's not a warm up. That's a time killer. Right. That's so the kids that show up 5 minutes late aren't, you know, don't miss out on something important kind of thing. And so I think purposeful, and I'd probably go shorter and get into something that engages them. Cause I think that's so important too, to keep them engaged. And you don't want to start out with a group of kids that you have to recapture their attention, right?
All right. Are you early to the blocks or last to the blocks?
Man, I would say I'd rather be early to the blocks, but not as early as most kids like to get to the blocks. I tried to teach the age group kids, okay, there's 12 heats of this. You don't need to be up there at the beginning of the event if you're in heat 12, right?
Right.
You can wait till heat 6.
I think the more nervous I was, the earlier I showed up, but as I matured, I showed up later and later. So. if you could change the IM order, what order would it be?
Fly back free.
Double down on the free. I love it. That's a very common.
I don't care. Double down on any of those three.
Right. Yeah.
I was just a terrible breaststroker.
Yeah. Same.
Man, I think it would be really challenging if you went free back breast fly. I haven't done that in practice. At least not very much. Sometimes when we do an IM rotator thing, but
gave you an idea today.
You'd see some interesting races with that order.
I wonder what would happen if
Phelps changed. Phelps probably still would have won all the time. But
oh, no question. He probably would have won by more.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Would you rather swim in a pool that's too cold or too warm?
I think when I was young swimming, too cold. Now I'd probably rather swim in one that's warm, maybe not too warm.
Too
warm. Right? You don't want to be in the bathtub.
No.
But I have a hard time getting in if I know the water's cold. Unless it's the ocean, then I don't care.
And lastly, what's your favorite Gatorade color? Or should I ask you, what's your favorite diet soda?
Diet Coke for sure.
Diet Coke.
My favorite Gatorade, even though I don't drink much of it, I kind of like the red, but I like the Frost. I don't know. Is it Frost?
Yeah. Grape Frost. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. Mark, is there a question we didn't ask or anything you want to finish up with today?
Well, we didn't talk about that pivotal moment of the meeting I had with your girls' high school team when I was working for USA Swimming. I don't know if we have time to circle back to that or
let's circle back to that. I have you come in. You're consulting with USA Swimming, and I was like, "Hey, I want these girls to be challenged." And you had a meeting. And I'll just let you finish the story.
Well, I had a meeting, and it was really was at the beginning, I think, of high school season.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you know, you were focused on winning your 300th state championship in a row or whatever it was, 31st in a row at that point. And I know in our conversation, you were like, we need to break through to the next level nationally. And I felt like I knew you well enough. I knew the Carmel program well enough, both from inside and from competing against it, that I could really lay down an interesting challenge to the girls. And I basically told them that outside that room that we were in, no one really cared about them winning their 31st state championship. I'm like, big deal. 30 other teams from this school have done it before you. Like, let's set our sights on something bigger. What if you decided you were going to be the first Carmel team to win a junior nationals or to win a national championship? And I go, I tell you what, if you're winning juniors, you're probably going to win the state high school meet, right? So let's make that a step along the way. Like let's think bigger than what we've already done. And I think, I was maybe a little more strident than I'm being right now with them. And there were a lot of girls, I think, that were shocked in the moment. But I think after they thought about it, I think they understood the message that I was trying to, you know, sell them is, yeah, it's a big deal to win a state high school championship, no doubt. But not when you've done it, you know, if you're a senior there and you've done it three times already, is it really that big a challenge? Let's move on to the next thing. And I think that's something a lot of swim clubs and maybe a lot of coaches have trouble doing is looking beyond where they're at to something more. And I always felt like I tried to sell my athletes on, if you want to be good at high school state, let's shoot for being great at, you know, making juniors or making nationals or swimming fast at sectionals. And the high school state meet will take care of itself along the way. It's not that it's not important, but it's part, you know, it's just one step along the way rather than a culmination. And I think even our best athletes sometimes get caught in that trap of just trying to replicate what they've already done rather than thinking there's something more out there for them to do. And I'll let you could talk about how that, the difference that you think that made with that group.
Well, I wish I would have had a camera that day and captured their faces when you brought that up. Because they were like a shock and awe. Who was like, who is this guy telling us about this? But at the same time, they all knew it was true. Like they just had to digest it. And then they took it to heart. There's no question. That spurred them on to winning national championships, winning juniors, being on national junior teams, all those things. So I just feel like it's so important to bring somebody else in who's maybe say your same message, but speak a little bit differently. And you have the right and the ability to challenge them, or I have to coach them every day, and you got to be a little bit more, I don't know what the right word is, but you know what I mean? You have to be the right tone on a consistent basis with them, right? And you can come in there and be like,
yeah, it's a lot easier for me to get in their face and
then, yeah, and then walk away.
And walk away and go, okay, Chris, you deal with it now.
Right.
But, and I think that's hard to do. You can't do that. You can't go to that place too many times if you're the head coach of that group every day. So bringing somebody else in or having an assistant coach that maybe takes that role, or, you know, an alum, you know, from the program coming back and going, hey, what happened to you guys? This is not the way we do it. You know, kind of thing. And you know, one thing I learned in my time at USA Swimming, it was easy for me to get the attention of kids and parents or coaches, because I was the expert from out of town, right? And I had that shield on my chest that said I was from USA Swimming, so I knew everything, even though that's far from the truth. But that was a neat opportunity for me to and I appreciate you giving me the permission to do that with them, because I just felt like that was a place that a lot of Carmel teams, I think, got stuck throughout history of, mm-hmm. you know, of not necessarily focusing on the wrong thing, but only focusing on that one thing. And I think we can all be guilty of that, winning the LSC championship, winning this meet, you know, making a team and not thinking about, okay, now I made the team, what do I do now? Right. And I used to love what Coach Schubert told the story when he was a national team director, that when a coach would come up to him and say, hey, I think I've got somebody that's got a real shot of making the Olympic team, Coach Schubert, in his Coach Schubert way, would put his finger in their chest and say, no, you have somebody who can win a medal for the United States. Right? Because he didn't want them thinking that making the team was the goal. Right? It was to go to the meet and do something there. And I think there's always room for us to be better at that. And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with setting a big goal and not reaching it. If, as long as the goal does its job of motivating you to do the work that you need to do to move that needle.
Mark, this has been wonderful. I love chatting with you and being inspired and motivated. So this has been great. I appreciate you coming on.
Well, thanks, Chris. It's been great to be on here with you. And I look forward to getting back to Indiana and getting on your pool deck again and watching what you guys are doing, because I know you're doing great stuff.
All right.